But first, we want to focus on the Supreme Court's decision to strike down a portion of campaign finance law. Last week, in a 5-4 decision on Citizens United v. Federal Election Commission, the High Court overturned a 63-year-old law that limited the amount of money corporations and unions could spend on ads and political campaigns. Supporters of the decision said the limits on spending interfered with political free speech. Opponents said saturating politics with corporate funding would only pollute and corrupt this democracy. The Supreme Court decision has far-reaching implications. Experts say it has the potential to reshape how elections are run in the U.S. We wanted to talk more about this and particularly what impact this might have on Black and Latino candidates. So we called House Majority Whip James Clyburn. He represents South Carolina's 6th District, and of course he's the number 3 Democrat in the House. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me back.
But before we jump into our discussion on campaign finance, I did want to ask your thoughts about the situation in Haiti and what steps that this country is already taking there. Are they sufficient? What's your view of that?
Well, I think we're just beginning. I think that you've seen a very comprehensive reaction to these catastrophic events down there. President Obama stepped up right away. He asked former Presidents Clinton and George W. Bush to coordinate a national response. And I think you've seen a significant groups across the country in the private sector, most especially the faith community, responded. And the Congress has responded. Speaker Pelosi has asked me to be the coordinator of this effort to try and replicate some of the things that we did in response to Katrina and Rita when I coordinated things for the House of Representatives. We have already passed the law that makes it tax deductible. All charitable contributions directed to Haiti between now and the 1st of March must be done before the 1st of March. You can get an immediate tax deduction reflecting back to your 2009 tax returns. And when we get back on tomorrow, we will be working very closely with various subcommittees and full committees of the House, fashioning a coordinated response. I do believe that this country has stepped up very well, and I hope other countries will do so as well.
And finally, before we move on to our main topic, there are those, I don't know if you just heard our discussion over the last couple of minutes, there are those really from different political backgrounds, it has to be said, who are now arguing that what the U.S. really should do is allow more Haitians to leave, particularly those who already have ties in the U.S. What do you say about that?
Well, I think that's a choice that they ought to be made, but I don't think anybody should be forced to leave their home base in order to get a better life. We all know what the history has been of, well, maybe we don't all know, but there has been a very sordid history of Haiti and its relationship to other countries, especially in the Western Hemisphere. We know that they have been punished severely. The first thing I think we ought to do is to forgive every dime of the debt that they owe, because I think they have paid 10 times over any debt that's owed to any other country. Then we ought to go in with a rebuilding effort. I think that we can set up various entities in Haiti. Business community can go down there. We're doing everything else offshore. Let's do some offshore stuff down in Haiti, and let's make it attractive for Haitians to live in their own country.
Okay. Let's move on to the subject that we called you for, which is this issue of campaign finance. And in a statement that you released on Thursday after the court ruling was announced, you said, quote, as a result of this divisive ruling, insurance monopolies will have undue influence over your health care, fat cats on Wall Street will control your money, and big oil will wreak havoc upon the environment. Special interests will drown out the voices of individual voters. Those are very strong words. Why do you say that?
Well, I say that because I think there's a history of that. We all know that there are various interests that have put the profit motive above the safety of our citizens. Why do we have all this dumping into our water streams that we know will poison people's drinking water going downstream? These kinds of things have happened time and time again in the country. And so if corporations that have deep pockets come into these campaigns and make it uncomfortable for elected officials to oppose some of their habits, then I think that you've got a problem. And this is not all that unusual. You just go back in the history. Kleptocracy is nothing new. It is the first step toward fascism. And if you're not careful, you will have this country devolving into that kind of an effort to put corporations on the same footing of an individual in our society, providing the same kind of free speech for a 25-year-old running for public office with a $25 billion corporation. There is something absolutely wrong with that, and I think this is a wrong-headed decision. And we better think about some of the things we've done recently. This thing didn't just happen yesterday. It's been going on now for about 25 years, starting out with a speech, though I don't think he intended it, that Justice Powell made some years ago. I've researched the history of this and how we got to this point, and I think it's a dangerous escalation of corporate monopoly.
Is there any legislative remedy from your point of view that is possible, given that, I mean, in essence, the court struck down previous legislative, well, the previous law, a 63-year-old law, 63 years worth of precedent? Is there a remedy, or is it more what you're doing, which is sort of jawboning and encouraging citizens to be more involved in the process to counteract the influence of corporate entities?
Yes, there is a remedy here. If the court can define free speech as broadly as they have, we can use corporate law to deal with the conduct of corporations. And I think that the Congress had better get to work very soon. Now, I know this is going to put me in trouble with some of my friends, and maybe even my own daughter will have some angst about what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. We better take another look at this so-called fairness doctrine that we have kicked to the curb. We better take another look at fair comment and what will be allowed to happen, because this kind of so-called free speech will open people up to all kinds of stuff that they may not be equipped to deal with.
Is your implication here that, because the argument has been, well, that, you know, force balances out force. I mean, that corporate influence is balanced out by union influence, for example, and by the influence of progressive groups, which can raise money on their own. You just don't think that's true. And I should mention that corporations are still prohibited from giving directly to campaigns. Is it your fundamental concern here that it's just unbalanced, that corporate money just will overwhelm all these other players?
That's exactly right, especially if, unless we tie some of this directly to the shareholders and make the shareholders responsible and even allow unfair. Well, look at all the laws that we have in this country. It says that, you know, under free speech, you can say anything you want about a person, especially if you're in elective office. And you're almost powerless to say anything about it. Now, what's to stop corporations from just absolutely annihilating people's characters and under the name of free speech? This is what I'm talking about. The intimidation factor would be so great in this until we will have something akin to fascism if we're not careful.
But why do you assume that corporate influence can't be counterbalanced by other forms of influence and other forms of organizing? People organize along all kinds of lines. They organize by, according to their, you know, sororities and fraternities. People organize by unions. People organize all kinds of other interest groups. You just believe intrinsically that corporations will overwhelm the influence of all these other players.
Well, if you tell me how many fraternities around that's got these kinds of stockholder investments in them, then I might say that there's a balance. I mean, I'm a member of fraternity. I'm a 33rd degree Mason, and I can tell you right now, we are all shareholders in other corporations. So I see a built-in conflict here if we're not careful. So I don't think you can put fraternities and sororities on the same foot.
I understand.
With financial institutions in this country.
All right. I appreciate you, Congressman. Again, just on a final note, on a very different topic, in the next couple of minutes, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. Do you have a favorite that you want to tell us about? And I recognize that you don't want to abuse your position of influence, but do you have an outcome?
No, I'll tell you what. I sat last night with my son-in-law, and I noticed that we were on the different sides of the ball last night. And I'm going to keep my mouth closed now because I got two sons-in-law, and I'm afraid I'll be taking sides if I if I like you.
Well, spoken like a man with many years of experience in politics.
Thank you so much.
Congressman James Clyburn is the House Majority Whip. He also represents South Carolina's 6th Congressional District, and he joined us on the line from his home in Columbia. Thank you so much for joining us.